بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 28th of April in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 16th blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan and I've reached verse 64 of Surah Nisa So, inshallah, to spend the session on this blessed verse. So, verse 64, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We did not send a messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, but to be obeyed in accordance with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they had only, when they were unjust to themselves, come to you, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked forgiveness for them, they would have found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed of returning the most merciful. So subhanAllah, note the theme in the previous verses. In the last two sessions, going through the previous verses, Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions that you must refer back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And in the previous verses, it mentions also that those who turned away, it was hypocrisy. So now here, another aspect is mentioned. And that is with regards to whether this was only during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or does it apply now? So there's three reports. The first in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 4178. Qurtubi in Tafsir 5-265. Al-Bahr Al-Muhit and Marif Al-Quran, Volume 2, page 486. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he relates, 3 days after Rasulullah was buried, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Bedouin came and he fell down at his blessed grave. Weeping bitterly, he then recited this portion of the verse 64. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا If they had only when they were unjust to themselves come unto you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked forgiveness for them they would then have found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of returning most merciful. He then said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in this verse, if a sinner presents himself before you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you pray for his forgiveness, he will then be forgiven. Therefore, I am presenting myself before you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that I may be blessed with your prayer for my forgiveness. Allah subhanahu Ali radiallahu anhu thereupon said, A voice came out from the sanctified grave ringing with the words, You have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So this is the first report. So it clearly mentions that Rasulullah is buried. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 days after his passing. And a Bedouin comes to the grave and he's weeping. And he recites this verse. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If you have been oppressive to yourself and you had gone to the Prophet and you had asked Allah's forgiveness, then the messenger asked for your forgiveness, you would have found Allah Ta'ala most merciful. And he literally spelled that out. He goes, Allah Ta'ala has told me to do this and I've come to you so that I'm asking you to pray for my forgiveness. And then subhanAllah Ali radiallahu anhu said, a voice came out from the grave saying, you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. So this is the first report. The second, and this is recorded in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman 3-495, Qurtubi in his Tafsir al-Bidayah, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimish 2-408, Hafiz Ibn al-Jawzi in his Muthir al-Gharam page 490, and Ibn al-Najjar in Akhbar Madina page 147. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Muawiyah al-Utbi al-Umawi, who passed away 228 AH, rahmatullah alayh, he said, As I was sitting by the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Bedouin came and said, As-salamu alaykum ya Rasulullah. I have heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, and he recited this verse, Thus I have come to you asking forgiveness for my sin, seeking your intercession with my Lord. Then he recited the following poetry. This is the translation. Oh, the best of those whose bones are buried in the deep earth, from whose fragrance the depth and height have become sweet. May I be the ransom for the grave in which you dwell, where one finds purity, bounty and munificence. He then left. And Utbi said, I began to doze. And subhanallah, I saw Rasulullah in my sleep. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to me, Utbi, chase the Bedouin and give him the glad tidings that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven him. Subhanallah. So this is a separate incident. But notice exactly the same scenario is taking place. The man comes to the grave. He says what Allah Ta'ala tells him to do. He praises the Prophet in poetry. But this time, instead of the grave, the blessed voice coming from the grave, in the dream, one of the Tabi'een, I believe, or Taba Tabi'een, he said, tell him he's been forgiven. So now, like I mentioned, this narrative is supported by other narratives, like the one I mentioned from Ali radiallahu. These reports are adduced by many of the scholars of tafsir and fiqh to point out the timeless meaning of the verse and the fact that it applies to all those who come after the time of the Prophet. So this is the key point. Is this verse only referring to the time of the Prophet when he was on the earth? No. It refers to now. And when you go to the holy grave and do exactly what's been instructed, you are acting upon this command in the Quran. And it's a sure way to get your sins forgiven. So who actually has that understanding? I'll just give you the references. Imam Nawawi in Al-Afqar, page 253-4. Imam Nawawi in Majmu, 8-217. Hafiz ibn Kathir in his Tafsir, 2-306. In his Al-Bidayah, 1-180. Hafiz ibn Qudama Al-Mughni, 3-556-7. Ibn Muflih in Mubdi, 3-259, Shamsuddin ibn Qudama al-Sharh al-Qabir, 3-494-5. So all the scholars there have said this is the reality. But leaving aside the scholars, the great Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said the same. So what did Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say? He said, this verse is applicable for all times. This verse, i.e. verse 64 of Surah Nisa, is applicable for all times. This is recorded in Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman 2-376, Tabrani in his Kabir 9-220, Hakim states Sahih to the criteria of Muslim 2-305, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawa'id states Sahih 7-111, Zahibi states Sahih ad-Dur al-Mantur 2-498. So Ibn Mas'ud said this is applicable for all times, meaning it's not just for the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an unbelievable avenue with which to secure the forgiveness of your sins, i.e. to go to the blessed grave of the Prophet and ask him to make dua for you. So this is the second report. There's a third. And this third narration is recorded by Hafiz Mullah Ali Qadi rahmatullah alayh in his Sharh al-Shifa Qadi Iyad, volume 2, page 72. So Qadi Iyad Shifa is a famous work. Many commentaries have been written about it. Mullah Ali Qadi wrote a commentary called Sharh al-Shifa. So he mentions this report. The second Abbasid Khalif, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, he was raising his voice in the Prophet's Masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst discussing with Imam Malik. So imagine Amir al-Mu'mineen is there in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he's raising his voice with Imam Malik. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi immediately said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, do not raise your voice in the Masjid. The Amir al-Mu'mineen immediately lowered his voice. And then he asked, when I make dua, should I face the Holy Prophet or should I face the Qibla? Now what he meant by that was, if I face the Qibla, my back is turned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or should I face and make a dua in the direction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Malik rahmatullahi replied, why are you turning away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the wasila in the court of Allah on the day of judgment for you and your father Ad, alayhi salatu wasalam, rather face towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and ask his intercession from him. Allah Ta'ala will accept his intercession for you. Then Imam Malik recited this verse. And the verse says, if they had turned to you, they would have found Allah Ta'ala forgiving and merciful. Meaning Imam Malik was saying that you actually faced Rasulullah to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this doesn't mean obviously you're making dua to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you're using the Prophet as the wasila, the greatest wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not Imam Malik was teaching the Amir al-Mu'mineen the adab of the masjid. Don't raise your voice in Masjid al-Nabi. Nice, like a fish market. What's happened to that command, right? Secondly, you can't even make dua, right? You know, there's guards that will literally strike you. And then you're forced to turn your back, right, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously their chain of thought is that you're committing shirk. And the response to that is, didn't Imam Malik know that? Rahmatullahi. And didn't the Amir al-Mu'mineen actually say to him, doesn't that lead to shirk? So no, this is something that you got to keep your logic to one side. But like I mentioned again and again, you're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you're going through the blessed messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, there's etiquette. Now what's the etiquette about the blessed grave? So the first thing to point out is that the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isn't just a structure. Who said that? The Holy Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he say? Whoever visits my grave, then my intercession will be guaranteed for him. Subhanallah. Whoever visits my grave, then my intercession will be guaranteed for him. This is in Darul Qutni 2-278, Bazaar number 1198, Behaki in Ishu Abul Iman number 4159, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Asakir, Hakim al-Tirmidhi number 112, Ibn Abi Dunya, Talkhis al-Habir 2-266, states Hassan, Hafiz Zahbi in his Mizan al-I'tidal 4-266, states Hassan, Kashaf al-Khafa number 2489, Hassan. So which Imams have graded this hadith authentic? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Hafiz Zahbi, and Hafiz al-Ajluni. They all said this is authentic. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Whoever visits my grave, I will intercede for him. It is obligatory. Second report. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever visits me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any intended purpose other than my visit, it is then incumbent upon me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be his intercessor on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Whoever visits me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without any intended purpose other than my visit, it is then incumbent upon me to be his intercessor on the day of judgment. So now the Prophet's talking about his grave, but he says me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where's this record? Tabarani in his Kabir, number 13,149. Tabarani in his Ausat, number 4,546. Darul Qutni. Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 5,482. He states, Malama ibn Salama is da'if. Hafiz Zahabi in his Mizan al-I'tidal 6-415 states, his weakness is light, therefore it is acceptable as a corroborative narration for the above. So this hadith has a slight weakness. However, the slight weakness is overcome by the previous report, which mentions the same thing. Therefore, it's authentic. A third report, in Bukhari and Muslim and Mishkat, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, let him honor his guest. He who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, let him honor his guest. So when you go to pay your respect to the Prophet, whose guest are you? Rasulullah. So how do you think he's going to honor you? He's told you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, honor your guests if you believe in Allah ta'ala and his messenger on the last day. Don't you think he's going to be the best in this area? So when you visit him, you're his guest. So he will honor you. How is he going to honor you? With what's best? So this narration indicates he's going to intercede, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A fourth report. In Bayhaqi, in his Sunan, Hafiz Dimyati, in Al-Majjar, number 906, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who visits me in Al-Madinah with the expectation of reward will be next to me on the day of judgment. He who visits me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah with the expectation of reward, ihtisab, will be next to me on the day of judgment. How can you be next to him and be unsuccessful? So note, when you visit Rasulullah, it's sorting everything, one of your problems out. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the area between my grave and my pulpit is a garden from the gardens of paradise. The area between my grave and my pulpit is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Recorded in Nasa'i, Ahmad, Tabarani, Behaki, Bazar, Abu Nu'aym, Al-Hilya, Qanz al-Oman, number 4947. So look at the wording, very interesting. The Prophet ﷺ knew where he was going to be buried. He goes, the area between my grave and my pulpit. Don't forget, he was saying this when he's with us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is that area so blessed? Between my grave and my pulpit is a garden of the gardens of paradise. Imam Tahawi explained, Rahmatullah Ali, Imam Tahawi in his Al-Mushkil 4-68-70, he said, when his pulpit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, achieved this special distinction just by his standing and sitting there at times, then the fact that his grave now contains his unparalleled body perpetually causes it to now have an even loftier distinction. Plus another obvious sign of his prophethood. So why is that a garden of paradise? Because the Prophet told you the limit of the garden is his pulpit. Because he was constantly walking from the dwelling of Aisha radiallahu anha, from the other mothers of the believers, to the pulpit. And he would stand on the pulpit, he would sit on the pulpit. So then Imam Tahawi says, then what about his resting place? That's when he was moving. Temporarily would sit, stand and move back. He's now been in his grave for over 1,400 plus years. So Imam Tahawi says, what about that? How holy a spot is this? Another report. In Deylami, and his Ghair al-Hasan in As-Sahiha, number 1530, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is an angel at my grave. And it says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, just now sent salat upon you. Subhanallah. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, just now sent salat upon you. Authentic hadith in Deylami. So when you send salat upon the Prophet, when you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's an angel at his grave. And that is his job. He's got no other role. Allah Ta'ala allows him to hear all the salat upon the Prophet all over the world and who knows where else. Don't forget, there's the world of the jinn and the angels. And the angel says, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so has sent salat upon you just now. Now what's interesting about this report, you are being mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and your father. So there's a hint in this hadith that one of the best things you can send to your parents, whether they are alive or they've passed away, is to do the root sharif. Because why would an angel mention the father if the father is unsuccessful? You understand? So the Prophet ﷺ becomes acquainted with you and your father when you send salat upon the Prophet ﷺ. Another report. The reason I'm mentioning this is because all of this is explained in this verse. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 1544 and 3997, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who invokes blessings upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before my grave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel who conveys that to me. And as a result, he is granted all his needs in this world and the next. And I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall also be for him an intercessor or witness. So this adds beautiful details. What's the addition? You're at his grave. You can't do it anywhere else. So you're near his grave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you send salat upon him. You're doing the root sharif, salat al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An angel conveys it, which we know. But then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the addition, meaning you don't get this unless you're at his grave. All of your needs in this world and the next are fulfilled. You don't even need to ask. No dua, nothing. You're just at his holy grave and you're saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and you're doing the root sharif. Then Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I will also intercede for you. Another report. In Deylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, salat upon me is first sent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by an angel. So let's break this down. You send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens first? An angel takes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious thereupon says, now take this salah to the grave of my servant sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the salah may seek forgiveness for its companion, i.e. its recite, and thus bring coolness to his eyes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does this mean? You do the durood sharif, salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an angel sends it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then tells the angel, send this salat down to the grave of Rasulullah, my servant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that salat is now seeking forgiveness for the one who recited it at the holy grave. And Rasulullah is greatly pleased. Think about that. Look at how amazing salat al-Nabi is. But we don't know what's happening in the unseen world. It goes to Allah Ta'ala, he goes, send it to the grave, send it to the grave, send it to the grave. And then the ruh itself is asking forgiveness for you, and the Prophet is getting pleased. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, it's a sure way of getting your sins forgiven. Another report in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 7-131 Sahih, Nafi ibn Jubair rahmatullah alayhi said, if you come by the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah. Then shaitan says in desperation, we have no company with this person now. So when you see the blessed grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now there's a green dome over the grave, so you can see it from miles away. Look how Allah Ta'ala has made it easy. You see the green dome, what are you supposed to say? You're supposed to say, As-salamu alayna, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah, which you say in tashahud. And then the shaitan goes, no company. He goes, he's got away. Meaning you've crippled shaitan. Look at the presence of Rasulullah is crippling the shaitan, if you know what to say. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report. In Darimi Mishkat Khasais al-Kubra Behaki in Shu'ab al-Iman Ibn Asakir Ibn Abidunya Ibn al-Najjar Ibn al-Mubarak Qab al-Akhbar Rahmatullah alayhi relates. Every day 70,000 angels descend doing tawaf around the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rubbing it with their wings and invoking blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until Maghrib. Then they ascend. Then an equal number descend and do the same till the Fajr. Subhanallah. So now what's interesting about this report? Qab al-Akhbar was a Jewish rabbi who embraced Islam. And Aisha asked him, do you know anything about the blessed grave? He told Aisha this. What did he say? 70,000 angels descend, do tawaf around his grave. We can't do tawaf around graves. This is only for the angels. And what did he say? They rub their wings on the grave. Why are they rubbing their wings on the grave? Teaching you shirk. Like some fruitcakes believe, right? Imagine. Why are they rubbing their wings? Meaning they're taking blessings from the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As if they need it. They're sinless. We're the ones who need the blessings. And then they go up, and then another 70,000. And this takes place all the way until Qiyamah. And then 70,000 angels help the Prophet out of his grave and accompany him on the Day of Judgment. So is his grave just a piece of rock and stone? Think about it, much lost people are in. So now, why has Allah the Almighty and Glorious informed us in verse 64 to go to Rasulullah so that he makes dua for you? There's a huge secret in this. Look at the sanctity of the Kaaba. The holy Kaaba is the holiest, it's the greatest masjid on earth. What is the virtue of iltizam? Iltizam is when you go between the black stone and the door and you grab onto the Kaaba. We know the virtues. Your du'as get answered, your sins get forgiven. But think about this. On the day of the conquest of Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave orders to kill certain criminals. What did he say? Even if they are clinging to the Kaaba. That was his words. Even if you see them doing iltizam, kill them. Their crime is too great. But there was a man called Abdullah ibn Sa'ad, and he was Uthman's foster brother. He apostatized. He became a murtad. He left Islam. And he started speaking ill about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what happened was, he was intelligent. He didn't go to the Kaaba. He went to Uthman, and Uthman brought him to Rasulullah. And the Prophet ﷺ eventually forgave him. So Wahab mentioned this. Rasulullah said, if he's clinging to the Kaaba, kill him. Meaning some sins, even if you cling to the Kaaba, is not going to undo. But if you go to Rasulullah, what happens? So now, this is why Allah Ta'ala says in this verse. So what are the three things? Now this is how you approach the blessed grave. First, you recite this verse. You go to the holy grave and you recite, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. If they had only gone to you when they had been unjust to themselves and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, then and asked the messenger to pray for their forgiveness, they would have found Allah the love most merciful of returning. So the three ways you approach the holy grave respectfully, you recite this verse, then you make a dua that Allah ta'ala forgives you. And then you humbly ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make a dua for your forgiveness. And there is no way on earth you can't be forgiven. That's what the scholars say. How can Allah ta'ala turn away his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So now look at the procedure. The verse first, direct dua to Allah ta'ala in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the humble final request for the Prophet to make dua for you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why this verse, what did I mention? Was one of the five verses that Ibn Mas'ud said, are more beloved to me than everything that's on this earth and that it contains. This is one of the five verses. And I said, look, each verse he's pinpointing, and that hadith is recorded in Hakim Ibn Ikhar. Why is it so precious to Ibn Mas'ud? Because he knows the value of this blessed gift given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to add this, to finish, there's other things we can do at the blessed grave as well. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, Qadi Iyad Shafa, one of the Salaf, he said, whoever stands at the holy grave and says, and he recites the famous verse, Surah 33, verse 56, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And then you say, the Salaf said, 70 times, صَلُّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ. Then an angel will address him saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now bless you, or so and so. None of your needs will now be left unfulfilled. This is another gift. Maybe it's that same angel who's taking the salat, passing it on to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's now a procedure. You recite the verse of Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you say 70 times, sallallahu alayka ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an angel gives you glad tidings. Now what's interesting, you haven't made dua. I didn't ask for health, I didn't ask for a good job, I didn't ask for this. The angel said, none of your needs will now be left unfulfilled. May Allah bless you. When you visit Rasulullah, you're visiting him. In Darakutni Tabarani, in his Awsat al-Kabir, Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, Sa'id ibn Mansur, ibn Asakir, ibn Adi, Abu al-Shaykh, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever visits me after my passing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is then as if he visited me in my lifetime. Subhanallah. Whoever visits me after my passing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is like he has visited me in my lifetime. So this doesn't make you a companion. You don't go to the grave of the Prophet and start saying, my name is now Yusuf radiallahu anhu, right? No. It means you've been given the honor of visiting him in his lifetime. So not only have you been given all these great gifts and honors, it's crowned off by the fact that, don't you all wish that in your heart, I wish I could have seen Rasulullah and visited him at least once. You go to his grave, Allah Ta'ala fulfills that desire of yours. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why here, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this beautiful gift given. And look at how perfect you find the verse. Where is the verse? On the face of it, it's in Surah Nisa. What's he doing in Surah Nisa? Surah 4 verse 64, you got to read the verse, it's prior to it. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, go back to Allah Ta'ala, go back to His Messenger. Then He warns you, don't be like those who turn away from His Messenger. And now he tells you, even after he leaves the world, you still go to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by going to him, Allah Ta'ala will bless you, both in this world, but more importantly in the next. And all praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a priceless blessing. So I'll recite the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr inna al-fajr fi yusr. Wa al-ashr inna al-fajr fi yusr. Wa al-ashr inna al-fajr fi yusr. Wa al-ashr inna al-fajr fi yusr.